This is not a political thing we're going through. Get your eyes, listen to me, church, get your eyes off of politics. We're preparing for the return of Jesus Christ. We're getting ready, and the bride of Christ is being adorned right now. I had our dear Hunter Lundy, he'll be watching this from Lake Charles, the great attorney down there, prayed for me this morning. He calls me every Sunday morning and prays for me. And I was telling him what I was going to preach about. He always asks, so he knows first. But I was just saying to him, the things that we're seeing today are greater than the outward appearance. What appears to be political wins and losses. This isn't a win or loss situation we're in. The bride of Christ is being strengthened. And this is what I told Hunter this morning. Anytime there's a resurgence of evil, anytime there's a tidal wave of evil that comes, there's a greater petition, a greater wall, a greater power that is higher than any wave or wall that can come by the enemy. Our God's greater. Now, wouldn't that be nice if that was true? Oh, it is. All right, then say amen. It is true. God's greater, amen? And he's greater in every area of your life. Not only is he greater in the governments, not only is he greater in our political world, but in your personal world. You see, I can hear about how the world is, and I can hear about how the nation is, but the truth is I need to know personally, and I need to feel personally the greatness of God in my life. And I need that so strongly. I need it so powerfully. I mean, I can understand the environment, but I want to live in those two words that you're going to see, and one other phrase beside that the rest of this year. I want to live in the anticipation of what God has for me and the expectancy that God's going to do it. Amen? I told you at the very beginning of this year that God gives me a phrase for the year, and that every year he does. Sometimes it's a sentence or a paragraph. Sometimes it's shorter. This year it was the smallest, most compact term that God's ever given me in the several many years that he's been giving me that here. And he said, here's your phrase for 2021. Jesus is. Now let me tell you, when he first told me that, I had to think about it. I said, no, Lord, that's not enough to preach too many messages on. And he said, that's enough to preach the rest of your life and never exhaust. Jesus is. Put it to your circumstance. Put it to you personally. Put it to your needs individually. Wherever you are, whatever war is going on between your ears right now, the biggest battleground you'll ever have is, I used to call it 3 pounds because I thought that was heavy. They say our brains, oh, it is 3? Oh, praise God. Thank you, Ruth. Somebody told me it was 5 pounds. I go, I don't have 5 pounds of brain up there, but maybe some people do. 3 pounds of grain matter is the biggest battle you'll ever fight right here. Anybody understand? And so we have to have the Holy Spirit to come in and pray that prayer that God showed me a few months ago in a very dark, dark time physically in my life. Lord, what did I say? God, heal my mind, first thing. Heal my mind, correct my thinking, and direct my decisions. Those 3 things. When God heals your mind, that gray matter comes under the authority of Jesus. And then the truth of the matter of who Jesus is becomes so powerful in your life. If you're not praying these 3 prayers, you need to put them down. You need to ask God to remove everything in your mind other than the truth of who he is and correct all your mind and get rid of all the liturgy and doctrines and ideas and opinions and ideas of man and get the pure understanding of the Holy Spirit and then be directed by the Holy Spirit in your life. I'm going to tell you what that'll do. It'll bring you a thing called joy. You see, joy can only come from one source. If you know that, say amen. Only comes from Jesus, no one else. I saw a definition, and this definition was so powerful to me I was already studying, and all of a sudden this came up. And this definition is the definition of a word called relevant. And I think we'll get this on the screen in a minute for you, and I want to show you something. Relevant is closely connected or appropriate to what is being done or considered right now. It's appropriate to the current time, period, or circumstance of contemporary interest. Now, leave that up a little while, Brian, and look at this. Relevant, and here's a term about relevant. Critics may find themselves unable to stay relevant in a changing world. Say, I don't understand it yet, Pastor. Stick with me. Have you noticed, or is it just me, that there has been a very obvious absence of prayer and the name of Jesus in our country since the COVID's hit? Churches have been lumped in with bars. We're a meeting place. I applaud the Senate and the House of the state of Arkansas and Senator Rapert, who is a son of faith to me. His license number is 5, a powerful man of God in that state. I understand just this weekend they have a bill in or passing a bill that's exempting churches from being in the same category as bars and other gathering things. Isn't that good? That God is using men and women of God in the right way. But this term, the world right now, when the world tries to blank out who Jesus is, and there's a darkness on prayer. There hasn't been a nation like we saw at 9/11. If you were alive and well when 9/11 struck, our Congress stood on the steps and held hands and sang some songs in unity. There's no unity in America today whatsoever. When you see what's going on in our country today, relevance is such an important factor. When you understand that the people that are critical of God and the presence of God, and that enemies of the state are children of God, that things have been turned around and distorted, then you kind of understand when it says critics may find themselves unable to stay relevant. There's something I want you to learn this morning from this word, if I can communicate it like the Holy Spirit communicated to me. I want you to understand relevance in your life with Jesus, that Jesus is relevant to everything in your life and every area in your life. I'm watching the world and I'm hearing them remove the term Jesus, remove the ideologies of church, no public gatherings, pastors can't go to hospitals for the first time in the history of our nation and pray for the sick and the dying. There's no mention of prayer in our nation. God's name is not in the picture anywhere. And it makes you wonder, and the word in the world today is this. There is a vast amount of people that are saying today, is Jesus still relevant? Is he something, is he a classic character from a religion gone by? Is Christianity a past sense in the world and passes just like other ancient religions has? Is that relevant too? And that's someone that's being critical, and someone that's critical is unable to stay relevant in a changing world. It's hard for people that don't know Jesus Christ to understand that he's still very relevant today in our lives, in everything that we do, in everything that we say. There's a blackout in our nation today of Jesus, of his name, of his power to heal, his power to deliver. So that question is rising, is Jesus relevant? I've watched the world as they try to fix and correct the areas of life that only God can do. Isn't it amazing what the world is coming up with? I see the shelters that the world is building for everyone in this horrible time, in this worldwide tragedy, in this pandemic. There's storm shelters, there's tax shelters, there's food shelters, there's vaccines and masks and distancing and seclusion and medications for anxiety and depression. But I've come today to cry out to you something, a truth that only God can give us, to tell you and declare to you as believers this message that as the storm arises, you're going to witness like never before your God rising up to exceed the storm that's in our country today. The threats, the plans, the attacks of Satan and everything he conjures up is not anything to be too overly concerned about, believe me. Only prepare to be used in this storm that's coming. And understand that God has his own shelters for us. He provides for us shelters. And in those shelters, we go to. Now listen, when you have a storm shelter, you go to the storm shelter in a crisis, right? You don't live in a storm shelter waiting for a storm. You run to a storm shelter when something happens. Our God will arise, and I'm here to tell you today on the relevance of Jesus Christ, that Jesus didn't come for a lot of reasons that Christianity is saying today. This is what's clearing out the irrelevance of God and making us a clear picture of who Jesus is. He didn't come to make you a positive thinker. He didn't come to make you a religious optimist in a bad time. Jesus didn't come to build up financial kingdoms in the world today in men and in ministry. But he did come for a very clear reason. He came to die for our sins. He came to rise again. He came to ascend to be with the Father and to become an advocate for you, and that Jesus can be relevant in your life today, right now, individually, and you can call on him and he hears and he answers you. He didn't come for a lot of the reasons that Christianity is saying today, but he came to redeem every human being born of man. He came to exonerate you. He came to cleanse you, to take death away from you and to give you life, to change you and to give you his Holy Spirit. How many appreciate the Holy Spirit? My goodness, the sensitivity of God, the understanding of God. When my daughter Natalie and I were privileged to lead Nancy and my brother Kenny to Jesus in a hospital room with our sister-in-law, who was a child of God but going to get ready to meet God, and Kenny was in there. We told him this simple thing that he'd never really accepted before, wonderful as he was. But he accepted Jesus and became a child of God. And for the rest of his days, he served God in a great way. But I'd call him every Sunday night on the way home, because there's a famous little restaurant I'm into eating, if you don't know, in our hometown. And I'd always joke about it to him about going by there on the way home. And he would tell me he had, whether he had or not, just to harass me. And one day we were talking. He said, "I got to ask you a question." He said, "I hear this. I was born in the same house, same mom and dad. But I hear this question, I hear you say once in a while, every often, that you hear Jesus speak to you." He said, "I must not be a very good Christian." I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, I don't know. "I've never heard Jesus speak to me." I said, "Well, I've never heard his voice." And he said, "Well, that's a relief." "Well, then how do you know?" And I said, "He speaks to my spirit." Does anybody understand what I'm saying? This is the Holy Spirit. There are people that are new Christians say, "I had a premonition, I had an idea, some thought came," but it's not the Holy Spirit. He talks to you, he reveals truth to you, he speaks to you. And I told him one time, I said, "Well, Kenny, you'll know when he does." "Well, how do I know?" And I asked him, I said, "Do you remember when Dad used to take us fishing at this particular pond that we used to go?" "Yeah." And I said, "One day I was fishing and I felt something on the end of my line, and when it got there, I pulled and I thought, boy, I've got a fish on here." Dad said, "No, that's not a fish. That's just a rock you're hung on." And I said, well, how do you know the difference between a fish and a rock? How do you know when God's speaking to you, when not, God's not speaking to you? How do you understand the relevance of the Holy Spirit in your life? How do you know that God is directing your life? That's what my brother was asking. And my dad said this to me. He said, just keep fishing. You'll know when you get a fish on the other end because it'll pull you. You won't just be pulling it. And I was fishing a few days later there, and man, I got a bass that would have set a state record on the end of that line. Woo, there went that line. And I knew that wasn't a rock it was stuck on then. I didn't see the fish, but I knew there was a fish on the end of that line. And let me just tell you this, you may not be able to physically see the presence of God, but you're going to know when he pulls on you. There's no question about that. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He speaks to us. I relayed that to my brother, and it wasn't too many months later, and I called him one Sunday night, and he said, well, the Lord spoke to me, and I went, oh, good, you caught the carrot. You got it. If you haven't caught the carrot, if you haven't gotten it yet, listen to me. The Holy Spirit is relevant in your life, and he's real, and he speaks to you. He is the revealer of God to you. He will tell you. He will forewarn you. He knows the future. Satan doesn't know the future. He's limited to a little spot he's in right now, knowing what he's learned only through experience, but has no authority or power over you to control you. Let me tell you about why Jesus is relevant. But one of the reasons, and I'll speak about as many as I have time today, he's relevant because of the blood that he shed for you and I. There's nothing like the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no power or authority like the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me read a scripture to you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. For you know that it was not, and I'm saying, I didn't know. Well, I'm going to tell you this morning. If you don't know, you're about to know. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. I'm reading from the NIV. And it says this, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life. Now, what do I say about the scripture? What? Say. Read slowly. Read slowly. There's a whole bunch in there by the time I got to that point. Number one, if you don't know, I want the Holy Spirit to reveal to you that it wasn't perishable things. You were redeemed with something greater than temporary means. You were redeemed with something greater than silver or gold. You couldn't buy your salvation. But you, and what you were redeemed from, it's so important. You were redeemed from an empty way of life that was handed down to you from your forefathers. You're born into this earth, and you're born under a thing called an Adamic curse. That means under the sin of Adam in the garden. That sin carried through the generations. And God, before the earth was created, in his incredible, omniscient way, prepared his son to be the Lamb of God and to die. I want to tell you how much God loves you. God bankrupt heaven for you. He gave the one thing that could not be replaced. He can replace angels and planets and solar systems, but no replacing of the very God in his son, Jesus Christ. And he gave his son for you. And this isn't a corporate thing. This is you, your little sins, your little failures, your problems, your anxiety, your sicknesses, your sorrow. God loved you and loves you still today in such an enormous measure that he bankrupt heaven for you. What a God. And he said, and the only God. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you redeemed from the empty way of life. How many remember that you're not in an empty way of life anymore? God can, I want to tell you something. Every human being is born has a vacuum in their spirit. There's a little spot that nothing can fill. Prosperity can't fill it. Popularity, none of the things that the world says are, there's only one thing I can fill, and that little vacuum is the Holy Spirit. And when you invite Jesus in, he takes that spot, that vacuum, and then he causes us to be completely a temple of God. You're not kind of saved ever. You're always saved. You're completely saved. Amen? You're totally redeemed. Every sin you've had has been forgiven. If you remember your sins, forget them. Quit living in the past. I want to tell you this, and the Lord spoke to me a few weeks ago, and it's so important. He said, don't go back to your past, your successful past or your failure past, because both of them will cause you to have anxiety or wish you to change or wish you had done or why didn't you. Don't go back to your past. Stay out of your past and live in the present where you're at today, because God is a God of the present, and he wants you to live in that joy. I refuse to live in the guilt of sins forgiven, and I refuse to let you. It's a good phrase for all of us. Amen? So he redeemed, you were redeemed from your empty way of life, handed down from your forefathers. But look at verse 19. Look at this. But you, here's what you were redeemed by: the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Oh my goodness, listen to this. The relevance, is Jesus relevant? Let me tell you what's relevant. His blood is relevant in our life. The redemption of the blood of Jesus redeemed us. In 1 Peter 1:18, I just read that scripture. We were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have fellowship with the blood of Jesus Christ. When you look at Ephesians chapter 2, 13, but now in Christ Jesus, who you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Jesus Christ. See, he brings us fellowship with God through the blood of Jesus. What about peace with God? Can you even begin to understand and comprehend and grasp the joy of having peace? I'm talking about a world that doesn't have peace. Anxiety, worry, fear about the unknown. But as a child of God, you live in a peace that's blood bought. When you look at Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to him. The blood of Jesus Christ guaranteed you to have peace in the turmoil that you've been living in. It's a cleansing blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, not only does it remove the punishment of sin, but it removes the pollution of sin in your life. Listen, it doesn't matter what you've committed, what kind of sin. When you look at 1 John 1:7, it says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Somebody say all. Somebody say, that's my sin. That's everything you've done that you want to stand up and tell everybody why you're not qualified to be a child of God or to serve in the kingdom of God or to love. Let me tell you something. The biggest mess ups in the world became the biggest preachers of the gospel. The biggest failures in the world became the greatest successes in the kingdom of God. The ones that had gone to the very point of debauchery in their lives became the pure and holy of God. So I'm telling you that one of the great relevance of Jesus Christ is that his blood cleanses you from everything. And there's one other thing I'll talk about of the many, many, many innumerable things that the relevance of the blood does is the blood gives us power. Oh, there's power, power, wonder-working power. Where? In my church membership. Praise God. I'm a deacon. Praise God. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I sing up here. I tithe regularly. No. No, your power comes from the blood of Jesus Christ. And as long as I pastor you and shepherd this church, I will not fail to preach on the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ is pure and powerful. We'll sing that song. We'll live that anthem that the blood of Jesus Christ is the greatest power known to man. You see, it's the blood that Satan fears. Listen to me. Satan fears the blood of Jesus Christ. when you're tempted, when hard times come, when fear and anxiety tries to overwhelm you, what do? You do what our little Alabama mama taught me to do. You stand up and you put your hand like this and you say, Father God, I plead the blood of Jesus over me right now. I'm going to tell you something. If you want to make a devil-free zone, plead the blood of Jesus Christ, because Satan cannot come. Satan fears the blood of Jesus and bows to the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Revelation 12:11 says this, and they overcome him, that's Satan, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That's the relevance of Christ. He's relevant in his death. He was relevant in his resurrection. He's relevant in the fact that he rose again, the fact that he created the church, and the church was given to bring on the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you glad for your relationship with the Holy Ghost? Yes. Do you love him? Yes. I preached to you 2 weeks ago a word, maybe it was last week, I lose track of time. But God showed me something in our land today. He said, don't worry about the attacks that are happening. He said, they're necessary. What? Okay, God, you got my full attention. What do you mean they're necessary? They're false. They're not even true. The statements that are going on in our nation today that are absolutely false and can be proved false, but they're not true, God. He said, yeah, I know, that's all right. And he showed me something. I almost fainted. The charges that are coming against our former president and some of our senators right now is a term that was only used one other time in my entire life that I hear. And it's a biblical term, and they're being charged with insurrection. When I heard that, I liked to faint. Holy Spirit said, where did you ever hear that before? One other time, Jesus was charged with insurrection. That's infractions, it's laws, it's crime against the government. He was called an insurrectionist. And then God spoke to me and said it was necessary. Whew. Why? Because it takes an insurrection to make a crucifixion. It takes a crucifixion to have a death. It takes a death to have a resurrection. It takes a resurrection for the birthing of the church, and it takes the birthing of the church to have the giving of the Holy Ghost in our lives. And I want to tell you, when you look in your life and you're being falsely accused or the enemy's attacking you, don't knock it, because that first little bit might hurt, that insurrection. That crucifixion will just be dying to junk in your life that you don't need anymore. But remember, there's a third day coming to you, and on that day is a resurrection, and in that resurrection will cause you to be able to birth that word of God in you, and that word of God birthed in you will cause the Holy Spirit to swell up in you. And listen to me, you're in a day. If you're interested, wave at me. I don't want to waste this on, I want to tell you, for your that's interested, you're in a day, if you can just thank the word hungry for God, you're going to be filled with a power of God that you've never known before. You're going to see the manifestations of God like you've never known. I'm fasting still and praying that in our worship time, that healings take place, that deliveries take place, that things begin to happen and God begins to move. So we see this incredible thing that God's doing, but it takes those things to have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. I'm sure we wonder where Jesus is at. Where'd he go? How come you haven't said or done or whatever? But it's a plan of God. Listen, and I tell you again, when I read that definition of relevant, I start thinking about how God's relevant in my life, where Jesus is relevant, what it takes, what he's done for me. This year, it's Jesus is. Today, it's Jesus is relevant in my life. We often, and you have to be careful not to do this, you see Jesus as an ancient character. You see him in a robe with dusty sandals. Because he chose in time to come to that particular time. But you also have to see Jesus in the revelation of who he actually is. You see, here's what John saw on the Isle of Patmos. What happened to John? He had the revelation, that book that wrote this gospel, this book, this truth called the Revelation. It's the last words that we have. It's our guidepost. It's our map for the coming of Jesus Christ. How to live our lives. Examples in the seven churches to Asia about what to and what not to do. Read those and put them to your present day life. Chapter 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation. Read that and look at all those churches. It says do this and don't do this. And I'm telling you, do the do this part and you're going to see God strong in your life. But in chapter 1, the word of God says that he's on the Isle of Patmos, John. He's in prison. Are you willing to go to prison to get what God has for you? Don't answer that. I guess we are, but nobody wants to. I don't think John went, oh good, I'm going to get put on the most abandoned place on the face of this earth that nobody survives. But he did survive. You may feel like you're in the most abandoned place that anyone could be on this earth because we all have our struggles. We all have our times. We all have our battles. But I'm going to tell you that when you feel the most alone, Jesus is most present. Never before in all of history, from the beginning of time, the creation of time, never before ever was there a time when Jesus, look at me, listen to this, when Jesus spoke to a man the way he spoke to John. But it took a prison. It took a false charge. It took being separated from the world. John saw him, and he saw the relevance of Jesus. John was so close to him. He was there at the crucifixion. He saw the death, burial, and he saw the resurrection. He was there at the time of the giving of the Holy Spirit. He was a follower of Jesus and knew he was real. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. Every one of us in here, there are times when you know you're saved, you know you've got the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, you know that things, that you're serving God, but there are still times where you feel like, Jesus, where are you? There are people in our nation thinking that today. But I'm going to tell you something. When you become more unaware of the presence of God in your natural state, the presence of God is closer and greater than ever before. Here he is, and he said, it's the Sabbath. John was probably still getting up, worshiping like our heritage is, Saturday afternoon. Friday afternoon to sunset till Saturday. Said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He came on the Isle of Patmos. He comes to church. One man. Thank God, no doctrines. Not even a piano player. Just one man. I want to tell you something. When you pray, often we pray, God, I'm going to pray for our country, but what can I do? I had this conversation with the Lord last week. I'm just one man, God. And I've been around the Washington crowd. I've been around government. I've been around the corruption, the leadership, the plots, the plans, and the enormous amount of power that's going on. And the other day I was praying, I said, God, I'm just one guy, but what can one person do? And God said, change you. What? Change me. That's what. What about the environment? What did I preach to you the other day? It's more important that God changes you than your environment. It's more important that God changes you in your circumstance. It's more important that God changes you in the situation. John comes and he stands on the Isle of Patmos. He lifts his hands. And I'm sure he began to pray one of the prayers, Baruch Atu Adonai Eloheinu, and he gives all the glory to God in his tongue, and all of a sudden, something happens. The presence of God begins to fill the place. Let me tell you something, there's something unmistakable about the presence of God. Unchangeable. And there are people here this morning that needs the presence of God. You need the relevance of God. You need to have that presence of God near. And in the darkest, most hopeless moment of his life, he turns and he looks full face into the risen Savior. This isn't the Jesus that he went fishing with. And I'm going to tell you something. As children of God, we need to take Jesus out of the fishing boat and put him on the throne. We've got to stop looking at him as the lamb and look at him as the lion. He has risen. That's the state of mind that you need to be. Was he true? Yes. Was he humble? Yes. But he's, listen, my friends, he's gone through the full gamut and he sits on the throne of God, and that's the relevancy of the Almighty God, that we can go to him with power and authority and look to him as not the poor, humble carpenter from Nazareth, but the radiant, glorious King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the relevance that you need of the God that you serve. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So when you go to him, you don't go to him in some poor, broken down state. You don't go in some arrogant, bold state. You go in the glory of who he is. When John saw him, it was overwhelming. In chapter 1, verse 17, he says this, when I saw him, when he saw who Jesus is, I want you to train your eyes on not what he was. That's wonderful. But it's who he is. And the is because he loves you. John said this in chapter 1, verse 17 of the book of Revelation. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Wouldn't you ever? You're talking about slain in the spirit. Woo. Bam. Do you believe in that, Pastor? I sure do. Now, I know there's a lot of phony baloney, too. I was born in this stuff, and I've seen every flavor of the month and phony that there can be, but I know there's a real power of God that will overwhelm the psyche and the body, and God will take you out for a minute. He said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me. You know what the right hand is? It's the hand of power. Listen to me. Here's the relevance of Jesus. He puts the hand of power on you. And he brings death to life. So say, well, I know he saved me. No. Let's go deeper in the relevance of God. Every crisis you've got going on in your mind right now, every what if, every can't be, every situation, every turmoil. Now let me raise my hand first. Does anybody in here have a crisis or a turmoil or a situation or a question going on right now? If you do, raise your hand. Okay. The rest of y'all had shoulder surgery and can't raise your hand. Of course we do. We do. But listen to me. Don't ever get to a place where you don't need Jesus completely. Never will you be that place. Don't be that confident in yourself. He placed his right hand on me and he said this, do not be afraid. And then he said this, I'm relevant today. Do not be afraid. I'm the first. That's the old days. Oh, and I'm the last too. And I'm everything in the middle. So I want you to understand this. Jesus that you serve is relevant today. He's not the carpenter from Nazareth any longer. He's the mighty God. Woo! You ever heard John P. Key? If you look it up. Google John P. Key. He's a pastor in Charlotte, North Carolina. He's got a choir, and they sing Mighty God. Woo! Oh, my goodness. I'm dancing thinking about it right now. Mighty God! Oh, sorry, I didn't know you are here. I didn't aim to be loud. He's a mighty God. And he's sitting on the throne of glory. He's there as an advocate for you and I. His concern is so consuming that every thought you have, he knows the thought. Every care you have, he knows the care. Every hurt you're going through, every question you have, he's the answer. He's relevant to today. Jesus is. He said this to John, "Don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last." Woo. He goes on to say this. "I'm the living one." That's a capital one. Look at this. "I'm the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive." For when? Forever and ever. "And I hold the keys to death and hell," Hades. The relevance of Jesus. The world can't understand it. The world be critical of it. The world can't stay relevant. But when the world's telling you that you're antiquated and behind times and superstitious, and this thing that you do and serve God is something of the past, I want you to understand this. You serve a God that's alive and well today, and he's sitting on the right hand of the Father. And one of these days, the Word of God says this, that he's going to come back. And he's going to be riding on that steed. And the Bible says that his vesture is going to be dipped in blood. And on his thigh, there's going to be written this term. This is who he is today. King of kings and Lord of lords. Not the baby in Bethlehem. Not the little child. Not the crucified Savior. But the risen Son of God who has died to bring relevance to your life of who God is. And for you to live in the power and the glory of who God is. I want to tell you something. He began to give John direction from that way forward. He wrote through the entire revelation of what was coming. Satan doesn't know your next move. He is not omniscient. He's not omnipresent, and he's not omnipotent. He doesn't have all power. He can only be in one spot. His demons can be in other spots and respond to him. But he's one being, and he has no idea what tomorrow holds. But the relevance of God and Jesus in my life today is that Jesus knows my tomorrows. He's got them in his hand. Before I can ask him, he's got an answer. I can trust him and know that he's God in every category of my life. Every area. No area is he not God. No area does he not serve you and love you. So what's that mean today, Pastor? It means this. That every concern and care you have, every circumstance you have, Jesus is relevant to that need right now. Now, the Lord promised me something this morning. And I'm saying this morning, I'm talking about 1 o'clock this morning.